Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into another football week here. This used to really be high-stakes poker when it was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick waiting for us up in Foxborough. This guy's made a couple of those bus trips, I think, with us over the course of times, and plane rides, planes, trains, and automobiles, and sometimes even tea in London together. Leonard Raskin joins us now from Raskin Global. I'm not wearing my Raskin Global shirt today. I'm wearing my State Fair shirt because I'm going to take Leonard over to State Fair for some chicken and waffles. But I do have the investments here on the desk, and they actually I still have a few of them left in here. Leonard, how are you? I mean, there is life after an election. There's even life after, like, you know, a Ravens loss in Pittsburgh, right?
Hey, it's a good week. You know, we still don't quite know who the president's going to be, but I think everybody's kind of got that feel of what it's going to look like.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the 5 million votes and Electoral College. I think staying up and down for 5 straight days and watching people count ballots. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I have a strong feeling about an inauguration in January.
And our Ravens beat the Colts. Didn't look good in half one.
So here's the deal. I don't go to Indianapolis. I went out there 6 different times. I know you and I talked about it last week, and you and your son in the middle of our – by the way, we threw that rally in Indianapolis 11 years ago on Maryland Avenue, just to let everybody know that that's where we were in downtown Indianapolis. But I don't make the trip. And my buddy Alan Sokoloff, who is the team chiropractor – he's my buddy. He's taking care of my wife over the course of time and whatever. And of course, friends with my dear friend, Steve Elliott at Elliott Chiropractic Life. He's a Facebook friend. And after the game, he put a picture of him and Andy Tucker and Leanne and all of them down on the field at the end of the game and said, "We finally won one in Indianapolis." And it was right at that moment that I thought, maybe I'm sorry I didn't go. You know what I mean?
Like, you're still 0-6. Still 0-6.
I am still 0-6 in Indianapolis. I am. So there was that. Hey, I'll say this for the Ravens and how they played and the tale of two halves. They haven't made things easy on themselves this year, but it was nice to see Lamar hold water on the road, down a little bit, down at halftime, that they came out in the second half and played a different kind of game than we've seen them play. I don't want to see them play like that in the first half, but when they do, it's nice to know that they have another gear.
Yeah, it was great. It was, you know, I'm watching the pregame and all these talking heads, and then everybody, you know, the Ravens haven't won in Indy. Lamar hasn't won when behind halftime. They're all like, it's over. They're not winning. I think it's good for him. It's another thing he can check off and say, I'm done. I don't need to hear about it anymore. Now, if we're down at halftime, I can win a game. I got to say, he's not yet Patrick Mahomes, who somehow is down 24 in wins or down 21 in wins on a regular basis, which is just – that guy's got iron in his gut somewhere. I mean, he just doesn't care. There is nothing that's going to stop him from throwing it up and trying to put up 50 points. But it was good to see him come back, play a better second half all around, a better game. And for in my mind, watching it, what I saw was Lamar didn't have his head down in a defeatist posture. He came out the second half to play ball. He didn't come out the second half just to carry on and not find a way. I think that's what was important. The offense played like the offense can play. It looked good. I always wonder, you know, there's that one or two plays where he breaks it up the middle. He goes for 20, he goes for 30, whatever.
But or all the way.
when he goes around the end, there's just no, you know, there's just no catching him when he's running. The dude is dynamic, and so I saw a lot more of that. And I like seeing, you know, send the running backs up the middle. Send the running backs around some more. Look good. They look good. Defense stood up. And I'll tell you, he's a funny dude, but I like watching – I just lost his name. Colts quarterback.
Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers. He is a funny dude. That dude, I saw an expose on him, I don't know, last time they were here, or big playoff or whatever it was. Guy's got like 100 kids.
He does, yeah.
And he never swears. It's like a thing with him. He won't swear. But he yaks from snap one to the last snap, and he's just funny. He's just funny. The guy goes all game. And to see him with that interception, he was not too happy.
Well, he's thrown a lot of those over 17 seasons. Where, you know, it's funny. I went back. He actually did my radio show when he was in college at North Carolina State. I found an old interview of Philip Rivers back in the day. And all of these years later out in San Diego, I used to cheer for him. You know, I have cousins and family out in San Diego. When we weren't any good in certain years, I saw some playoff games out there. I went with my buddy Tony Agnone to a playoff game out there, a Jets game, a million years ago. And all these years later, like Eric Weddle and he were very, very close.
Yeah.
And for him to make this move to go to Indianapolis where their defense looked pretty good, I don't know he's going to win a championship this year. But I do love when he complains to the officials and yells at his teammates after he throws a pick. That's good my favorite. That's when Twitter blows up for me.
You can just hear him, gosh, oh, golly. Good gosh, man. I mean, he's just hysterical.
So Leonard Raskin is here. He's Raskin Global, our friend with the investments. Tell everybody what you do, because this is an interesting time now, because we've talked so much, you know, about the first week in November, what's going to happen, where's my money, end of the year, where are my taxes. You know, all of my buddies that are Trumpers are, you know, are all freaking out that they're going to go broke now that Biden's run. So where is this from a tax standpoint? Are there going to be people hiding money before the end of the year because the tax rate might are people freaking out a little bit more than maybe they ought on the the aftermath?
Well, of course they are. You know, before the election, there was no question that half the country thought that if Biden won, the world, the United States and the world is socialist. Half the people thought if Trump won, the world is going to end. So we know that half the people, no matter what, aren't happy right now of whatever is going on. Let's assume Biden is the president-elect. Let's assume further that somehow in Georgia, the Republicans hold two seats in the Senate. If that happens, you've got a major block in the Senate to policy that Biden and his team might want to pass. You also have a much more narrow majority in the House, it appears. So when you put those together, what you see is a lesser mandate for socialism, quote unquote, big tax increases. Now, granted, regulation can change a lot. Money can be spent differently. New things can come online that can undo some of the Trump stuff. But if you're thinking you're going to get a major tax increase through a Republican Senate with Mitch McConnell in charge, it's highly, highly unlikely. What does that mean? It means gridlock for 4 years. It means, or 2 years until
Well, there is an election in January too. So, I mean, that will also stay in
Georgia. That's for Georgia. So that's for the Senate. That's for control of the Senate. You're going to see more money spent probably on a Senate race in Georgia than you've ever seen in your life spent on a congressional race. And it's not because anybody's interested in these two people that are in Georgia that are going to be so outstanding as senators. It's because they flip the balance of power between Democrats and Republicans in our government. And if the Republicans maintain control of the Senate and Biden is the president, you're just going to see gridlock. The stock market loves it. The tax law won't change dramatically. Things will be around the edges. They won't be massive, massive changes for 2 years until potentially Democrats get a bigger majority in the House again and take over the Senate in 2 years, which could happen. And then you see all kinds of things. But for the next 2 years, if it goes as it appears to be going, just status quo life and things are good. And then the market recovers hopefully from this COVID mess and we go on with life. Regardless of what happens though.
How does the market react to COVID when every day we're waking up to 100, 125,000 people, more hospitalizations this week than at any point? You know, at some point, I was out at 11 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. People were talking, oh my God, Hogan, 5 o'clock. I mean, we do have that going on above and beyond whatever Trump was on a daily basis. I think there's municipality. I got a friend in East Baltimore with a bar wondering why the Ravens can have people in. And he, you know what I mean? All of that's still going on from the city to the county and to the state. And you know, I would think that that is very, very concerning that we're going to literally have slowish, if not shuttish downish, in January and February when the weather gets the worst.
Yeah, and I think it depends big on what happens with these therapeutics and this injection. The Pfizer
news on Monday.
The Pfizer news, right?
Sure.
Right. So you know, if there's a vaccination, huge. If there's good therapeutics approved, huge. the stock market likes business. The stock market likes businesses to make money. So if there's news of a vaccination, which there was, you see the airline stocks just boom, and the cruise ships boom, because suddenly they're thinking people are going to get back to being moving again. And then at the same time, that, like you said, a day after that, you see Hogan come out and say, we got to pare back. We got to cut back to 50% in restaurants and bars. We got to close down, you know, Baltimore City. I think they said there's a curfew. Now this is something that kind of tricks me a little bit, and we can get off the market for just a second here. I don't understand how the virus attacks you at 9, but not at, or at 10, but not at 9. I don't get that. So I get the curfew. You know, people are going to be out crazy silly. But if I'm crazy silly at 9 or crazy silly at 10, I don't know the difference. But what the stock market does is the stock market is always looking ahead 6 months. It's always looking ahead to say what's going on in the world that we live in. And it's saying right now there's going to be vaccination. There's going to be therapeutics. There's going to be opening of our economy. And things are going to come back to a more quote unquote normal that we used to know before. And when that happens, great companies make great products and sell great services that people want to buy. And when people buy stuff, the market goes up, the stocks go up. And so, as we said before the election, a month before, and with COVID a month before, and the same today, you cannot position your portfolio based on projections of what's going to be. If you allocate your portfolio and make moves in your account based on what the market might do or what the news of the day is, you're never going to be in a position to create wealth in your life. What you're going to create is stress and anxiety and trading that costs you money. Nobody knows which of these pharmaceutical companies is going to be the first to market. You know, Pfizer comes out with something, their stock goes straight through the roof. Others go down. Another one comes out with something, their stock goes straight through the roof. The fact is, the market only changes based on news, and news is unknowable. It's future. If predicting the future was easy, we'd all know the end of the football season. We'd all know who was going to be in the Super Bowl. We'd be Biff in Back to the Future 7 or whatever it was where he got the score.
The DeLorean, I remember that, yes.
Back in the past and bet the ponies or something. I mean, that's not reality. So to guess what the market is going to do is a fool's errand. What you need to do, allocate wisely, create a smart portfolio, invest your money, set it, forget it, and rebalance it when the market changes. And you have to make sure the other things are in place. We talk all the time. Make sure your protection is in place. This is not the time to not have health insurance. This is not the time to not have life insurance. If you care about your family and, God forbid, this COVID thing bites you and you're no longer part of this earth, people are dying. You want to make sure your family's taken care of the way you would have taken care of them had you been here. You want to make sure you've got proper wills in place, that your legal documents are right, that the titling of your assets are right. And let's face it, COVID and the president, you could be hit with cancer tomorrow. You could be hit by a bus tomorrow. None of us have a crystal ball that says this is what's going to get us or not get us. You have to live your life every day as if the worst could happen tomorrow, knowing that it's probably not likely. You're set for it. And then you work for the best and you just keep going, keep doing things. Make yourself a life, live your American dream, man. Make that happen. Here we are, both of us. You know, neither of us grew up with any money. Neither of us grew up in a place where money was thrown around and we had the luxury of life. But here you are running a radio station. Here I am running a business and we're profitable. We have kids that are successful. We have, you know, great family, great spending. We're going to London. We went to London. We went to Indy. We did these things because we worked like hell and we do the right thing with our money. And that's the long-term bottom line. It doesn't matter. You know, how many presidents have we lived through? How many more are we going to live through? The coronavirus will pass. Handle your money the way you should. And don't worry about these little things. Let them just go. And there's more important things to focus on. Do I like my house? Do I want to get a new, you know, do I want to refinish a bathroom because I've been home for 7 months and I don't like it anymore? That's the things that are more important.
You got any Penn State fans in your life, Leonard?
I have a couple.
Yeah, I bet they're not happy this week. You know, I had a Penn State girlfriend about 25 years ago, and maybe 30 years ago now. We went to Memorial Stadium and, you know, watched Penn State just destroy the Terps. Then we went down to Bird Stadium one. I'll never forget that one. That was like 63-10 or, you know, one of those nights. The sports right now, you talk about the volatility of markets and people freaking out or whatever. how does anybody bet on a college football game, right? Like, I mean, week to week, who's out there, who's not? And this is something, I guess, for the sports fan and that I talked about a lot last week. And I talked to Luke about this when Marlon Humphrey went out. I don't want the NFL to devolve into the Eddie Fainter All-Stars. I mean, we just had the baseball season that didn't feel like a real baseball season in any way to me. This college football thing is the wildest thing. I know your boys out in Ohio State. You're all Big Ten'd up. The Maryland thing happened the other day, and I put the game on. I'm like, who the hell are these guys? You know, where did this – I saw some of that Northwestern nonsense a couple weeks ago. It really is crazy. Then Clemson and Notre Dame and Trevor Lawrence and COVID. I look at this college football thing, and I really do wonder why they're doing this other than for – maybe for the first time, it's just for the kids to have a good time and go out there and play ball, because it isn't about the fans and it isn't about any of that. I don't know that it's particularly good, quite frankly. So,
well, there's some great football going on out there, and you know, I'm not a gambling guy, so a lot of this stuff is beyond me. When
you're already in the stock market, you got your own problems, right?
Plus 350, minus 2,000. I don't even know what that means. what I know is the over and under, and what I've learned is in college football, you bet the over because these guys don't play defense real well. And boy, these offenses are throwing up some points. I was on the phone a couple of days ago with a friend of mine from Virginia Tech, and they got beat by Liberty.
They used to be good. I remember them, right? Remember Frank Beamer?
Right. Well, they're supposedly okay. But, yeah, this last week, watching Maryland go up to Penn State and do the unthinkable, my goodness, that was quite the game. But Maryland has an offense now, it appears. They've got a quarterback. You know, he's got good bloodlines, apparently.
Apparently.
and he loves Coach Locksley. You know, that's the other thing. He wanted to come here to play for him. And he's got some good receivers. He's got a good line there. So they have some offense. And it looks like they're going to put up some points. And this weekend, you know, I was not a Maryland grad, but they were my home team, so to speak. So I was always a Maryland fan. And now my son and my checkbook are residing at the Ohio State University. So suddenly I've become an Ohio State fan. And now we got Ohio State Maryland coming up this weekend. And the Terps gave them a scare a couple of years ago.
You're not going to really root for Ohio State, are you? I mean, you're writing them a check's one thing, but, like, let your kid root for him. He went there. He's going there.
He'd be mortified if I rooted for Maryland this week.
Really? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, you're – well, again, if I was a Maryland alum, that'd be a different story.
Okay, that's fair.
The fact that I'm not, you know, for the first time ever, I got skin in the game. So we're looking at the Buckeyes and the Terps, and I think you're right. I think they're playing for the kids to play. Clearly, they're playing for the TV contracts because that's where the big money comes from, so it's got to be for TV.
Yeah, it makes me itch. It really does. It makes me itch, and then the games start, and they're not even the usual cheating to get competitive that we usually see at the higher levels of SEC and Big Ten. You know, so it does not break my heart to see Clemson get their feelings hurt or Virginia Tech or any of the – or Penn State for sure.
So you talk about coronavirus, and, you know, in that last little bit we were talking about, and look at the SEC coming up this week. I think already three games are canceled. Alabama, LSU ain't going to happen. They don't have enough players to put on the field because of the COVID stuff. So they're canceling games left and right. I think the SEC's canceled three. You know, you just
Pac-10 as well, and Navy's moved their games around, and that first Navy BYU game was not competitive. There's just a lot of not competitive football game, right?
Yeah.
To our point, this isn't normal. There's nothing normal about it. It feels like, and I'll say it again, the Eddie Fainter All-Stars. I keep promoting Eddie Fainter, but it feels like an exhibition. It feels like a barnstorm. It feels like an intramural, right?
Yeah,
like
literally. And they're all only playing in conference. So that's the other thing. You don't see an Alabama against an Ohio State.
Somebody told me they had rankings the other day that we were ranked seven. I'm thinking, who the hell's doing rankings? Like, who takes that seriously, right? I don't take that seriously most years. But, I mean, usually it's about the bowls and making the money, you know, like all of that stuff.
Well, that's what it's about this year. It's about the finals. And one team's going to have played eight games. One team's going to have played 10 games. One team's going to play 11 games. One team's going to play six games. Who's going to be in that championship? Who the heck knows, man? It's 2020. It's just – I don't think it even matters. You just do it. You get the TV ratings. You get the money. You call it a day.
Beer and nachos. Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. I'm usually wearing the blue shirt. It's being laundered, Leonard. Okay. I wore it earlier in the week. I wore it too much earlier in the week. The investments are here, however. Tell everybody how to find you, and I'll pull your website up, let everybody run wild here. But you've been helping people with their money forever.
Absolutely. 33 years, man. Facebook.com/Raskin Global. LinkedIn.com/Raskin Global/Leonard Raskin. You can find us there. You can find us if you have a question, info@Raskin Global. You can go to our website and find out what we do, a little bit more about who we are. There's a lot of resources on there for you to look at, things that you can do and say, hey, you know, I want to talk to these people about my money.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Susan. How are you? They're up there.
every page has a Q&A, an opportunity for you to put in your information. Search us up and say, hey, you know, I have a question about, whether it's about investments, whether it's about insurance, whether it's about estate plans, your wills, your taxes, an IRA question, whatever you got going on, we're there to help you answer it. We do everything financial, everything money. And on the corporate side, you know, we also advise businesses. One of the things we haven't talked a lot about, we advise business owners about their corporate benefits, about retirement plans, about why is it that your employees come to work and spend an hour a day looking at their investments, checking out their 401k, wondering if a medical claim is going to be paid for a health visit to the doctor. And for some people, you know, that's really critical stuff. I was on the line with a client yesterday, her kid, 12 years old, diagnosed with leukemia, you know?
Oh, wow.
And her concern immediately goes to, is my health insurance right? Do I have enough liquid money? What if I need money to pay for care or medicine or treatment? Do I have to take it out of my retirement account? You know, what does that do to my future? Do I have to sell the house? Can we stay living here where we're living? All these things are things that are real concerns. And as we said earlier, football's great. The election's here. Tomorrow, this mom's still going to have to deal with a kid with leukemia.
I'm very familiar with that day, right?
Exactly. And that's the real world, man. And that's what we're about. We're about helping people with real world situations make their money work for their family and do the things they need to do and hope to do. So when you get through this, you know, life goes on and you got to be ready for what's next, but you got to be ready for what's here right now. So we take care of dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and making sure that both employers and employees are financially stable and set for great American dream stuff that long-term, you know, that here we are, man. You, as I was saying before, you and I, we're living, breathing American dreams. We've had the kind of success that people dream about, and it's great to be able to have. And a lot of people don't feel like it's out there. A lot of people don't feel like they can have it. I can tell you, there isn't anybody we work with that we're not striving to help them have that, to have that American dream and have the things they want in their life and do the things with their money to help them get there. So RaskinGlobal.com, find us, come meet with us. A free hour of consulting for anybody that calls in, comes in, emails in and says, hey, I got some questions. I want to know what to do. If you choose to engage with us after that, we'll talk about how that works. But a free Q&A for anything you got going on, we're happy to help.
I know you miss having everybody, you know, out. We had a night out with you right before COVID, talking about finances and talking about all that stuff. I know you're doing some stuff on Zoom. Still very easy to reach, Leonard. I tell you what, reach to your son and tell him that they pay their players more out there, so they, you know, they should beat us.
They should win.
But you know, Maryland looked pretty good last week. We'll see how that turns out. And I think I am abstaining this week from going up to Gillette Stadium. I had Dan Shaughnessy on this week and Bob Ryan. You can find those out at BaltimorePositive.com as well. But I think I'm just going to stay back this week. I stayed back last week from Indy. I'm just going to ride this out and watch it on TV with my cat. Such is life in 2020. I hope we get back to normal next year. I haven't even looked to see where the road trips are next year. I better do that, right?
There you go. It's Patriots week with Cam Newton at the helm. And that, what is it, that third down foghorn that was the most annoying sound in the world.
Yeah.
Nothing better than Super Bowl winning year going up there to plaster them and watch people leave the stadium as the foghorn blows as we're up by whatever it was.
Yeah, we've lost more than we've won up there, but the one that we won is the only one I tend to try to remember.
It's the only one I care about. Hey, how about one last quick notch? How about Joe Flacco throwing the ball around to Mr. Perriman on Monday night like they were best friends?
I watched the beginning of it, and I put a little tweet out about, you know, just another Monday night, you know, Flacco to Perriman, and I saw the ball get knocked out in the end zone, and there wasn't a touchdown, and I went to bed, and I woke up at 3 in the morning, and I only saw the score. I saw it was 30-27. I'm like, ah, poor Joe, you know. I saw that, you know, where all the points came from at the end and all that, and my wife woke up. We got a pot of Royal Farms coffee about 7:15. She did her yoga, and I'm like, because she stayed up late and watched, and I said, she's like, yeah, I watched Flacco play last night, threw three touchdowns. And I'm like, you know how he looks? She's like, he can still throw it. He can still throw it. You know, and I'm like, I saw that early on too. I mean, he still has the touch.
Till there were 4 minutes left, and he threw the interception that cost him the tie. And then his line did what lines do, and he went 3 and out with 2 minutes to go, which then lost the game.
They look like an 0-9 football team.
They sure do. And I have a lot of friends up there that had great hopes late Monday night that didn't happen.
Well, you know, Luke was beating him up on Monday and saying, Joe, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And then he goes out and doesn't play half bad. So, well, you know.
He passed Joe Montana for, like, career yardage. What is that?
I like playing a long time, man. Come on, man. Joe's the greatest.
Joe is a great guy.
You'll never get me to say anything bad about Joe Flacco. Not on these airwaves. No way.
I like Joe a lot. He's a good man.
My all-time favorite Baltimore athlete. So, but I couldn't stay awake with him in a Jets helmet. So
it was something to see him in the Jets green. It just didn't. Not to compare, but Johnny U playing for the Chargers, you know, Joe Flacco playing.
Hey, man, Ed Reed went out and ran around too. Don't forget, right?
They if you're not ready to go, you got to get your paycheck.
Not Ray Ray and J.O. though, baby.
No.
Sizzle though, look at him. He's got jewelry from Kansas City. Who knew?
He does indeed.
I got mints from Leonard Raskin. These are the investments. I'll get back to the blue shirt next week. I got to get a Raskin Global hat as well. I'm wearing my Baltimore Positive gear here. I got a new State Fair shirt, so I'm working on new gear from all of our sponsors. Leonard Raskin supporting us as we move from WNST and all of our sports coverage, and Luke still at Knowings Mills, as well as all of our Baltimore Positive coverage and all the great conversations we're having. Find him out at RaskinGlobal.com. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking your money, your finances, your future, and Baltimore Positive.